This podcast is brought to you by the Buy American, Support America t-shirt. Right now, if you go to HowieCarShow.com, click store, and get your Buy American, Support America t-shirt, you'll get a free book by Howie Carr. There's tons of packages, so go check them out now.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The Atlanta police officer who shot and killed Rashad Brooks Friday has been charged with murder and aggravated assault, along with nine other charges.
We've concluded at the time Mr. Brooks was shot that he did not pose an immediate threat of death.
As many of you all know, under Georgia law, a taser is considered as a deadly weapon under Georgia law.
Seems like a huge miscarriage of justice.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Having his firearm taken and used against him was a probability, and so he did what he needed to do, and this was a completely justified shooting.
Well, we have heard from multiple sources that police officers were walking out today. We did just hear from an Atlanta Police Department spokesperson who says there have been a high volume of call-outs.
Police are being demonized to a large extent. That's the good cops that really are looking at this saying, you know, why am I bothering? Why am I doing this?
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Black Lives Matter, period. And so I would yield to any of my colleagues on the Republican side who can unequivocally say that Black Lives Matter.
Unequivocally, all lives matter. Why is that a problem to acknowledge?
Reclaiming my time. I think it's clear that my colleagues on the other side.
Unchained and unstoppable.
The Supreme Court has blocked the Trump administration's efforts and their plan to roll back DACA.
I cried tears of joy when I heard the decision of the Supreme Court. So this is a wonderful, wonderful day.
Oh, what a joyful day. Wonderful, wonderful.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
I really wonder if the murder charges against Officer Rolf down in Atlanta are ever going to get into a courtroom, or if this is just going to be dismissed. These murder charges, anyway, are going to be dismissed on appeal. It just seems like there's no grounds for this. I mean, they have the district attorney's own words 2 weeks ago saying a taser is a deadly weapon, and now he's saying it's not a deadly weapon. You have the Atlanta Police Department manual saying that if an officer is in fear of his or her life, they have the right to use deadly force. I mean. And the fact that I didn't know this yesterday, that the district attorney was just defeated in the Democrat primary down there on Tuesday, he's in a runoff, but he's probably the underdog. He's got a couple of scandals that are dogging him, and he's not going to be the DA, but he's kind of like leaving this minefield for his likely successor to have to deal with here. And this is a desperation move. I think he thinks this is somehow a winning ticket to indict a cop to overcharge. Let's just call it overcharge. You know, you can say he shouldn't have shot him or he shouldn't have killed him, but is it murder? First degree murder?
I think that's
premeditated murder beyond a reasonable doubt. Premeditated murder? I don't think so.
I think that's going to be a problem with a lot of these cases that are popping up right now, is that they are being overcharged when really you should charge people with what you think you can actually get a punishment for. Otherwise, we're going to see a whole lot more riots when things get dropped completely.
Right. Well, you know, it's again, the same thing happened in Baltimore with the death of Freddie Gray. They decided to charge 8 police officers with murder, and the juries immediately tossed out 3-4 of the cases, and they just dropped all the rest. I mean, those were ridiculous charges. In Ferguson, Missouri, with the death of the so-called gentle giant, the state authorities never brought any charges whatsoever. The Justice Department under Obama tried to find some civil rights charges, and they even punted on it. There was nothing they could charge him with. Michael Brown, I think his name was, attacked the police officer. And, you know, so this is, but the thing is, it's wrong to try to charge somebody with a crime he didn't commit. And I think it's pretty clear Rolf didn't commit this crime. Anyway, we've got Grace here with the news. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. I want to start with a little bit of John Bolton news. If you are following the president on Twitter, not actual John Bolton news. It's more Donald Trump news, because the president was tweeting, as he often does, and he was not holding back. I haven't seen him go on this kind of a Twitter tear in a really long time, Howie. And I was reading them today on our write-in to you because I was just cracking up. I mean, I think my favorite one...
Do you blame him?
My favorite tweet has to be this one. Wacko John Bolton's exceedingly tedious... Now, keep in mind, exceedingly tedious is in quotation marks, because then he references, in parentheses, the New York Times. Book is made up of lies and fake stories. Said all good about me in print until the day I fired him. A disgruntled, boring fool who only wanted to go to war. Never had a clue. Was ostracized and happily dumped. What a dope. I think
my only question, Mr. President, is, speaking of dopes, why did you hire him in the first place?
Well, that's the thing. It's weird because now he's tweeting, well, President Bush fired him, too. It's like, well, yeah, but you hired him after he fired
him.
Right.
And as I recall, he came to the transition team after the election, and President Trump looked at his mustache and said, I just can't get beyond the mustache, which I understand.
Yeah, it is a big mustache.
But why did he give him a second chance? It's not like he shaved the mustache or trimmed it back.
Can't you picture that being like a story, though, that the left would concoct? Trump tells Bolton he has to shave his mustache to enter his administration. I wouldn't put it past either of them. So he's just been tweeting nonstop. He keeps calling him. He picks certain names for certain people. He's referring to John Bolton as a wacko a lot. There's a lot of wacko. And I think the best part of Trump's tweets is that it forces all these serious news anchors to read the tweets. So, like, today we're driving in and we hear someone reading it on the news, and they have to use their serious news anchor voices. So they say, was ostracized and happily dumped. What a dope. And he's just trolling everyone,
yeah,
per usual. In other news, I wanted to play a little bit of Joe Biden sound, because I saw this on Twitter yesterday.
You can never go wrong, Grace, with Joe Biden sound, as we all know.
It's like a cheeseburger. It never disappoints. Joe Biden was talking, and we all know what happens when Joe Biden's talking. And so I see this on Twitter yesterday, and I thought for sure it was old, because I thought I had heard this before, but maybe it's just something he reverts back to.
I've had that problem recently. I sent Taylor a cut that somebody put up there, and Taylor said, no, this is from April. And I said, no, someone just posted it like it happened yesterday. And sure enough, it was from April.
So this thing is happening a lot on Twitter. Well, people will post something, and then blue check marks will see it. And they think that it's new, and they repost it. So you have to scroll down on the comments for someone to say, just so you guys know, this happened in March. And then you go,
Rick Wilson.
Okay. Rick Wilson? Well, that was exceptional, because that was 8 years ago. But yeah, this happens a lot.
But we have more Rick Wilson news, by the way. The guy who called all of us credulous boomer rubes.
By the way, should I tell everyone where I got my pizza from last night?
Yes.
Domino's. Yep. Domino's has another friend in Grace Curley, not just Kaylee McEnany.
I don't mean to be a snob, Grace, but I didn't know they delivered to the island.
Oh, they do. I was probably the first person to ever take them up on it. They probably checked their GPS like, no, this can't be right. So Joe Biden is talking to some people about why they should marry into a family with five or more sisters. I will let Joe explain like only he can. This is cut 17.
I tell everybody you ought to marry into a family with five or more sisters.
Yeah.
My wife has four sisters. You have five.
Yeah.
You know why that's the reason?
Why?
One of them always loves you. Not the same one. One of them. You always have one ally. So that's why I recommend every man marry into a family of five or more sisters.
Now, this would not be as weird if Joe Biden's son didn't start dating his brother's widow.
His sister-in-law. his sister-in-law. Let's have the, and then we have another cut here. Yeah, here's the,
so he thinks this is a really good joke.
Oh, he's upped the game, too. He now says five or more. It used
right.
to be three or
before,
more back in
before
January.
Before, you could get away with marrying into a family with three or four. Now it's five.
Can you imagine when Hunter goes on a date? How many sisters do you have?
And again, too, also remember, Joe Biden is the guy who confused his wife and his sister on election night before the panic began.
But
it's easy
always,
to do when you love them all.
I always say this. There are certain things that if I was Joe Biden's handler, I would say, let's not, this word should not be coming out of your
sister.
Mouth. Sister. Don't say it. Also,
son.
Should not be
son.
Coming out
just
of your
be,
mouth.
Bo is okay because Bo's dead. You know, he was a nice guy and all that. But if Joe Biden starts talking about sons, it's going to drift into Hunter. And
well, I was going to say more numbers.
Also, another one, grandchildren. Because that way, then that's going to lead you into talking about Hunter's most recent offspring, Burisma, who lives down in Little Rock.
Yes, there's a lot of, but you know what? They must have just said at this point, let them.
Another word that I just thought of that Joe probably shouldn't discuss, China.
Yeah.
Or Ukraine.
And
Romania, too, if you talk to Rudy Giuliani.
I know that this is a sound cut that we just played so people can't see it, but he has the black mask on. And once again, it is completely underneath his nostrils, which I don't understand. Isn't your nose where you sneeze out of, et cetera, et cetera?
Oh, and the same day he took the mask off and immediately started licking his fingers for some reason.
Yikes. Guys, Grace's News is brought to you by a miracle. Genesis 950. You must try Genesis 950 if you have pet stains and odors. It breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they're gone from carpets and padding for
McKay
good.
McKay was using some today
McKay
for his dogs.
Is a huge fan because he has these massive dogs, and I guess they create...
Well, he has one large dog. The other
but
one's a
lot
Shetland
of them,
sheepdog.
A lot of them visit, though. His okay. brothers have big dogs, right? So it's at
Come
a
on, Grace. You got to be up on the dog sizes. Go ahead.
They all looked big in the pictures. Order a gallon direct at Genesis950.com. Enter code Howie to get more than $10 in savings.
I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
I haven't seen the book. I'm not paying any money for a book. I don't want to pay any money for a book that was a substitute for testifying before Congress about the well-being of the American people.
You know, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, can we all agree, whatever you think of him, he's a pretty smart guy. I think he was number one in his class at West Point. He went to Harvard Law School. He was a congressman. Pretty successful guy all the way around. Do you really think that he would write a note, scrawl a note, and pass it to John Bolton, a well-known recidivist backstabber, saying that the President of the United States is a bleepity bleep bleep bleep?
No, he probably knows the old rule. Never write when you can speak. Never speak when you can...
When you can nod.
Nod.
Never nod when
you can wink.
Yeah.
And never wink when you can just be quiet.
Right. And I think Pompeo said today, where's the note?
Yes.
You should have the note. You're a lawyer, you know? You should have the evidence here.
Where's the evidence, Mr.
Where's
Bolton?
The beef, Mr. Mustache?
Howie, you got to say it like the lady. Where's the beef?
Mr. Walrus Mustache. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want to hear your music, not your roommates or your family's music. And Raycon wireless earbuds are the way to go. Get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should Officer Rolfe have been charged with felony murder?
No. No.
61%.
Whatever you think happened, it's not an appropriate charge.
61% say no, he shouldn't have been charged.
Okay. Grace, what do you got?
So there is this magazine. It's called Popular Mechanics.
I used to love that magazine when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Really? Is it popular?
It's pretty popular.
That's Popular Mechanics, along with Popular Science.
Right. I personally have never read that, but I'm more of a Cosmo / People girl myself.
And that's the difference between you and me, Grace.
Taylor, you might not be such a fan of Popular Mechanics.
I am not.
They are getting blasted for their guide on how to topple a statue. Bring that sucker down without anyone getting hurt. The article posted Monday encourages readers, promising the best advice on how to topple a statue using science.
Well, there was a problem, I think, in Virginia. They toppled a statue of somebody, and it fell down on somebody's head.
Yes, and I think it took off a chunk of the person's head.
I don't think he's dead, but...
No, but it was a serious injury.
He's in the intensive care unit.
So did they teach, like, what best fulcrum to use? What was the best angle to go at it from?
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff you find in Popular Mechanics. Probably there's some tips, too, on, you know, if you have a choice between, like, a concrete statue or a cast metal statue... Which one should you go with? I don't know.
I can't wait for next month's edition. Which graffiti paint sticks better to surfaces?
Well, I'm going to read you a quote, Taylor, from the issue. Should you happen to find yourself near a statue that you decide you no longer like?
You no longer like.
That you decide.
That's quite a euphemistic description, isn't it?
We asked scientists for the best, safest ways to bring it to the ground without anyone getting hurt. Except, of course, the inanimate racist who's been dead for a century anyway.
What? Oh, my God.
The inanimate racist. What about the, you know, what if it's Abe Lincoln? The guy who signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
I'm going to speak for all the woke.
Say inanimate emancipation three times fast.
Mechanical engineer Scott Holland then advised how with about 70 strong friends, protesters could pull down most statues with 4x4 recovery straps around the head or the neck.
70
how many
strong
protesters do even know what a 4x4 recovery strap is?
70 strong friends or about 130 Antifa members.
Holland also suggested using a propane torch to heat up the statue, saying you will be there for 15 to 20 minutes, but it's a lot easier. That's great. That's what these that's what all these protesters need.
Remember, these are the same protesters, one of whom blew himself up trying to blow up an ATM machine outside a sports bar in Philadelphia. You want him to be carrying around propane torches? There's going to be more entries to the emergency room. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with the boss, the chief of the Federalist. I'm Howie Dark.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. You know, Grace and I and Taylor, we're all over the internet every day looking for material to use in the show, whether it's sound cuts or stories that give us suggestions or leads to people we want to talk to on the air. And one of the best sites on the internet, without a doubt, is thefederalist.com. They especially good on for me on the Spygate, Obamagate, whatever you want to call it. They have Sean Davis, who's the head of thefederalist.com. Molly Hemingway does a great job. She is also, you see her on TV shows. She does really great tweets, keeps an eye on the left wing. Margot Cleveland is a former clerk to a federal judge. She does really intricate legal stories on Obamagate. So it was probably only a matter of time until the left wing came after the Federalist, and sure enough they have. And the left wing in this case being NBC News. And if you haven't heard the story, it's pretty appalling. And joining us now on the line to talk about it is Sean Davis, who's the head of the Federalist. He's been on the show before. Sean, thanks for being with us here. And I really mean what I said. You guys do a great job every day.
Well, it's an honor to be on your program, and thank you for having me, Howie.
Well, tell us what, because a lot of people don't know this, or they only heard bits and pieces of it. What happened to the Federalist a couple of days ago?
So what happened was on Monday we got an email to a generalized inbox. It wasn't an email to me or any of my colleagues, from an NBC News reporter saying, "Hey, Google's going to demonetize your website. What do you think about that? Do you have any comments?" And this kind of caught us by surprise. We'd never had any issues with Google. We talked to our ad team. We talked to our tech team. We looked at the site, checked all our emails. We hadn't gotten any indication that we were in any jeopardy or trouble at all. And so I placed a call to a friend at Google, former Senate colleague, and said, "Hey, what's going on here? Do you know anything about this?" It's just very like a back channel informal conversation. And this person said, "Let me check it out. I'll get back to you." And then we got word on Tuesday, when NBC came out and said they published their story and said that we were deplatformed, we'd violated Google's rules.
Sean, we have a website, so I understand it, but most people or a lot of people don't understand what does that mean when they say demonetized or deplatformed. What is that? It means money. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. On the internet, selling ads is the lifeblood of any free news publication. And basically what happened is that Google went and told NBC that they had banned us from using Google to sell ads, to place ads on our website. They basically cut us off from the biggest ad person, ad entity in the world is Google, which can be fatal to a business. It was effectively the death penalty for an online news business, and they had apparently sentenced us to this death penalty in collusion with a foreign NBC News outfit working with a foreign left-wing speech police outfit. And again, we had no idea we had done anything wrong at all, because actually we didn't. So I talked to my Google contact again, who told me, "Oh yeah, so apparently the standards team said that your comments section violates our rules." And I said, "We've never been told
comments?
That before. These are third comments from third parties who we have no control over. We use a third party platform to host comments. We don't moderate them. We don't monitor them." And keep in mind, Google uses this arcane section in federal law to claim that it's not liable for anything people post on its services as third parties. And yet Google came to us and said, "We're going to shut you down because we hold you personally liable for everything." And it was a put-up job between Google and NBC News to take us down because we criticize the media, we criticize Black Matters, and we don't kowtow to the leftist totalitarians who want to go around telling everyone what they have to think and what they have to say.
So are you going to sue Google, or are you going to sue NBC News or this shadowy group in the UK that was apparently set up by the some people from the Labour Party in Britain? Are you going to sue anybody over this?
Good question. Don't know yet. We like keeping all our options open. You know, from our point of view, NBC News published a false story about us. It was a false story published with the intent to hurt us. It was a false story meant to interfere with our contractual business relationships with other parties. We believe it was done deliberately, recklessly, and with malice in order to hurt us. But we're looking at all our options now, and we haven't made any decisions on that front.
I mean, I mentioned this briefly yesterday, but consider the irony of NBC News, of all people, going after another media outlet. This is NBC News that kept Matt Lauer on the payroll for all those years, knowing what he was doing to female employees at the Today Show. This is NBC News that covered up the Harvey Weinstein story and actually pretty much got rid of Ronan Farrow because he wanted to portray it. They have Brian Williams, who made up stories. He's an anchor on MSNBC News. Mike Barnicle, Al Sharpton. These are reprobates. And they're going after you guys.
That's right. And we don't even have to really surmise their motivation, because NBC in its news article said what its motivation was. They said we had to be taken down because we criticized the group Black Lives Matter, and we criticized media coverage of the violent riots, and we accused the media of lying when they said there was no violence at these riots and they were all peaceful, and specifically because we criticized MSNBC and NBC in one of these articles. So from my perspective, it looks like a pure revenge play. You're a competitor. You make us look bad by noting how we cover up the truth, how we covered for Harvey Weinstein and Chris Matthews, and Mike Barnicle and Brian Williams. And as a result, we're going to take you down for that. It's unconscionable, especially when you take the foreign interference angle. We've been lectured for years that foreign interference in our democracy is a direct threat to the Constitution. And yet what happened here? We had a foreign government-affiliated organization working with a foreign media unit to take down an American media organization in the midst of an American election. It's unconscionable. And the worst part about it is, yes, they may have targeted us this time, but we're not the end goal. They're targeting you. They're targeting your Absolutely. Audience. They're targeting anyone who reads you. They're targeting anyone who commits the crime of having their own independent views on anything. It is a crime, and it has to be stopped.
Right. I mean, this is the thing. I'm glad I know Tucker had you on the other night, and they're coming after Tucker Carlson. They're gonna come after everybody in the if they get a chance. You know, we have to stand for stopping this. And it's just amazing too. You know, in NBC, in addition to employing a lot of people that are really shady characters, they have a reputation for just bad journalism in general. You know, I mean, they Dateline NBC with blowing up the truck. They printed crazy stuff about Michael Cohen's phone being bugged. They didn't even know how a pen register works. They're ignorant journalistically on top of being unethical, and they're coming after you guys. It's really preposterous. Tell us who is this woman that wrote this story? I never heard of her. Adele Momoko Frazier. Where did she come from?
She works for the delightfully Orwellian named group at NBC called the NBC News Verification Unit, which you got to have a heart of stone to not laugh at that. It's enough to make Kafka proud.
Does Brian Williams have anything to do with the verification unit? Do they check when he talks about seeing the bodies floating down Canal Street after the hurricane?
Yeah, maybe he's on secretly on the board of advisors there. But yeah, this woman who went after us and who colluded with Google to interfere with our contractual relationships, who colluded with Google to get us defamed and smeared for the crime of committing journalism, she even bragged on Twitter afterwards about how she, quote, collaborated with this foreign-affiliated left-wing group out of the U.K., to deplatform us, demonetize us, and get us banned from Google. So there's no real argument about what this woman's goals were. She intended, by her own words and actions, to take us down. And I've got bad news for her. She messed with the wrong people because we don't take this stuff lying down. And we do that because we know it's not about us. It's about our readers. It's about your listeners. It's about you.
This is
an attempt to take control in this country of how people speak and how they think and how they vote, and nobody should stand for it.
Yeah, even if you've never heard of thefederalist.com, and I would recommend it highly if you haven't heard of it, you have to be concerned because, as Sean says, they're not just going after him or Margo Cleveland or Molly Hemingway. They're going after you. They're going after everybody. It's like Trump says, you know, they're not coming just after me. They're coming after you. And that's the case here. Tell us about the Center for Countering Digital Hate. I heard that this guy that runs this thing, he's like a left-wing conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, we don't know very much about it. It seems to be almost an astroturfy group out of the UK. Don't know who funds them, whether they're funded by foreign actors in Europe or whether they're funded at the behest of China or Iran or Russia. We believe they have about two employees. And again, this person went on Twitter, a former labor politician, the member of a foreign government, went on bragging about how he almost took down an American media organization. And if you thought 2016 was bad, where we were told time and time again that Russian interference and foreign election interference, which was nearly non-existent, by the way, there was no collusion there, You have to look at this. You have to look at all the entities conspiring to shut down the American public. You had Facebook today trying to take down Trump and ban him from having ads on there. You have Twitter censoring him. You have Google coming after us. We really are in a fight for our civilization here. And the question is, do we want to be like these totalitarian mobs who dictate according to their whims and have different rules for themselves than they do for you? Or do we want the country that's founded on the ideal expressed in the Constitution that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights? I would like the latter, but this is a civilizational fight that we're going through right now.
And I heard the guy who runs this Center for Countering Digital Hate, that he's written that the Ford Motor Company is a white supremacist group, among other groups, among other things.
I hadn't seen that. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. But again, these are folks who are out to tear down statues and ban Mrs. Butterworth and Aunt Jemima. There is nothing they will do
and
to
Uncle
take
Ben.
Control of your lives and your minds and your actions. They will stop at nothing.
Yeah. Do we know if these people know Christopher Steele or Fusion GPS? Sounds like another one of these operations of, opposition research, trying to take somebody out.
That's a great question. We've wondered that internally. Was this part of an operation to take us down as punishment for us exposing the criminal Russian collusion hoax for 3 years? We don't know, and that's the real problem here. There's no transparency, but we do know this was a transparent hit on us, an attempt to assassinate our company and muzzle us heading into what may be the most consequential election in our lifetime.
Well, that's what the lawsuits are made for, discovery, right? Get people under oath, like
yeah,
Christopher
like I said,
Steele is under
at,
oath.
We're looking at all our options.
Well, that's great. Sean Davis, again, you guys do a great job, all of you. It's a fantastic website. We love it, and we'll have you guys on again if you can come on. And I advise all of the viewers and listeners and readers to check out thefederalist.com. It's chock full of great stories, and they haven't been shut down. They haven't been cowed by Google or whoever was backing NBC News. And whoever was backing them up. Sean Davis, thanks a lot for being with us. We appreciate it. And keep up the good work. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. This is really serious, what we were talking about with Sean Davis. This is about as serious an interview as we're going to have probably this month or maybe the whole spring or the whole summer. It's and think about this too, that NBC News, NBC Network is owned by Comcast, the biggest cable company in America, and they're very susceptible to this kind of left-wing manipulation. They're part of it. I mean, look at if you get your emails from Comcast and you go to the news, they have a news headline when you try to get your emails. And it's always anti-Trump stuff, protests. They're always promoting COVID-19 hysteria, panics. It's just total left-wing BS. And the problem is that most people don't get their news from any kind of objective source. Objectivity is kind of overrated, always has been. But at least in the old days, newspapers and most TV stations tried to be a bit objective. You know, there's none of that now in most of these outlets. And Google is trying to, and Google, Facebook, YouTube are trying to, shut down the other side. It's very, very serious. Daryl, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Daryl. You there?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing, Howie?
Good.
I would like to bring up a few subjects that nobody's been talking about.
concerning.
How about just one? How about just one subject? Go ahead. Go with your best shot, Daryl.
Okay. Your guest, the law enforcement officers, and I thank them for their service. They say there are a few bad apples, but the majority, most of them, are good.
Yes.
If we can get a closer look at the appropriate percentage of the good by asking these questions. If a good, honest, just person turns their head and allows misconduct to happen, if a good, honest, just person...
We get it, Daryl. We don't live in a perfect world. I understand what you're saying, but if you see wrongdoing, whether it's police corruption or abusing innocent civilians, you should turn them in. And we would all agree on that in a perfect world. However, we all understand that sometimes everybody looks the other way in whatever field they're in. Thanks for the call. Judy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Judy.
Hey, thanks for letting me on your show. I had two things, but I'll stick to one. I heard what you said. And I'm a nurse in Georgia and all my life in the Atlanta area. And I want you to know, I keep hearing about New York's finest. Georgia has some of the best, finest officers there are in this country.
Judy, thanks for calling in with that information. I always assume that. No one's down on the Georgia police. I'm Howie Carr.